to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday afternoon. And of course, we always get a little bit more excited about Wednesday because it is our midweek service tonight, right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach Plaza, beginning at 7 p.m. And we want you to know that you're invited, you, your family, friends, anyone you'd like to bring along with you. Come on out and join us for the midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, a time of worship, praise, a message from the Word of God, and come out and be built up in your most holy faith. And along with quickly mentioning tonight's service, we want to mention next Wednesday night because it will be our annual candlelight service. Really, the Christmas service that we'll be celebrating together. That'll be next Wednesday, the 22nd of December. And we want you to know that you are all invited to that special service as well. Well, friends, great to be with you once again as we continue to develop this wonderful theme of these are holy days, not holidays, and the importance of reflecting, thinking about, and giving some great thought and meditation to the true message of the Christmas season. And we'll be doing just that in just a couple of moments with a devotional message that will be followed up by your phone calls. And as of late, the phone calls have been few and far between. We're hoping today that that will take on a different nature. We hope that many of you will join us, perhaps by way of testimony or a comment, a question perhaps that you have. Any of your thoughts, all of your thoughts are, of course, welcome right here live on the Grace Hour. And your counseling needs, we'll do the best that we can to help you out in that realm. And also your prayer requests are all welcome. That and so much more as we open the phone lines following today's devotional message. We do want to welcome our local listeners on WRBS right here in the greater Baltimore area. You can find that station on the AM dial, 1230 on your AM dial. And you can join us for the first half hour live, and then, if you're able to, transition over to gracehour.org on the internet and stay with us for the second half hour as well. Those of you that are listening live on the internet, we want to welcome you wherever you may be tuning in around the globe. And, of course, those of you listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, just extend our greetings to all of you and thank you for listening and tuning into the broadcast today. Joining me in the studio, share today's devotional message is Pastor Jason Moore.
Thanks, Pastor Love. Good to be with you always, our listening audience. It's a great time of the year. I love this theme, Holy Days. And there's so much hubbub and busyness and fear and chaos going on in our world. And I just am so encouraged when we look at the gospel story. We see the same, maybe same situation, just in another dynamic, but there was such peace, there was such worship, there was such joy that surrounded the baby Jesus. And I think, like never before, when we look at the gospel story, the beautiful incarnation, just the start to the end is filled with redemption. It's filled with the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father. These names are the ministry of Christ to all that come and encounter Him. And but I was thinking today, just that word "holy" is something that's echoed throughout eternity. We see it throughout the Book of Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and we see so many beautiful words about holiness being wholeness or perfectedness. a sanctification, something that is set apart, anointed for the master's use. And so when we look here in Matthew chapter 2, I'm always amazed at the wise men. And just to think that these men, however many there were, they traveled an incredible distance. And I just thought to my heart, what is it that drew these men? They had a promise. They looked and they followed the star. That's a unique and incredible point there alone. That really, that physical star, we could say, is a beautiful picture of the day star in our own life as believers in 1 Peter. But these wise men were not just believers alone. They were followers. Their faith had action. Their faith had risk. Their faith had conviction. Their faith had purpose. And they did not sit on the promise and just, like so many in that day, knew of the promise and did nothing per se, or they were not aware of what to do. But these wise men, they moved with fear. They moved with great risk and with great promise and with great joy. And they were moved in holiness, just like Noah when he built the ark. He built it in fear, or we could say in holiness. He was separated unto Christ for the mission and purpose of building that boat. And the same thing here, these wise men, they came. And again, we see this in verse 9, they followed the star to where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And isn't that good when we follow the Lord? Hosea 11, 2 and 3, when we follow on to know the Lord, there is joy in our lives. And I think joy is one of those fruits of the Spirit that have to be guarded in one sense, because Satan is always trying to steal our joy. And in this story, we see Herod obviously is trying to do that. He wanted to, because of jealousy and arrogance, he wanted to have no competition because of his tremendous insecurity. He was an unholy man, we could say. But these wise men, they traveled, moved in fear, or moved in holiness, moved with wholeness or completeness in Colossians 2:10. We are holy or complete in him. So here they are, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I love these gifts because they are holy gifts. These are gifts that represented the person and purpose and kingdom of Christ. I mean, we see the frankincense was a beautiful spice that could be made into an incense that represented an offering. I mean, think about these wise men. They offered frankincense, just like we see in the temple. There was this demonstration or indication that Christ would be the ultimate offering in Hebrews 10:10, that he would be the one and final offering. So isn't that beautiful to think that these wise men brought a holy gift, something that pointed to the wholeness and completeness in the divine nature of Christ. Secondly, they brought gold, speaking of deity, God's deity. And we see gold represented throughout the Bible in so many different ways, but it points to the character and the quality of who God is, his deity, fully God, fully man, a king of kings, but yet a man, fully God, fully man, with all authority, but laid aside his authority so that he could identify and rescue, redeem man. And then we see myrrh. This is an interesting, gift as well. It represents something that you would embalm somebody with, and it pointed to his resurrection. And think, so these gifts were something way beyond the natural. these are something that had a deeper meaning, a deeper message. Well, I love this in Isaiah 9:6. Maybe this is a familiar verse to us, but I pray the Holy Spirit will make this so personal, because again, the people of that day that were aware of the promise, that were following after the Spirit, following after scriptures, they had a holy expectation. They moved in holiness. They moved with a spirit that was tuned into the Holy Spirit. And in Isaiah 9:6, again, we see this incredible verse, and it shows us again God's kingdom message, his kingdom living, his kingdom action. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Right? Mark talks about this, the Son of Man. He was someone that identified in all points, yet without sin. He was the perfect redeemer. Notice this, it says this, he said, "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called." So look at this. His authority, his action was based in holiness, or we could say purity, or there was no contamination, no perversion. He was totally clear through the bloodline, and he was fully God and fully man, and that the incarnation, to think that God Almighty lives in you and I as the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, as it says in Matthew 1:22-23, that God is with us. So this always blows my mind, that the wonder that surrounded, that moved the Magi, the wonder that was worshipped at the manger, and the wonder that Joseph discovered in the dream that moved them on to protect baby Jesus, the wonder, how they moved in wonder, they moved in holiness, they moved with the fear of the Lord. And all their lives, and we hold this beautiful book, the Bible, and we see this throughout the whole book, that he is a wonderful counselor. Do you need counsel today? You're not going to find your answers by looking in yourself. You won't find the right answers anyway. But when you look up, when you look in the Bible, 121 of Psalms, we look up unto Jesus. He is our great helper. And it's wonderful. It's beyond something we could figure out. Have you ever realized this, that when you start to think you know what's going on in your Christian life, the mystery kicks in another gear? It's another level of like, okay, Lord, it's about you and me. It's about me and you walking before you. That is the Christian life, walking before you. Be ye holy as I am holy. How does that happen? You walk before the Lord, and he sanctifies you. He justifies you. He makes you righteous. It's all about the Wonderful Counselor. And he leads you in his absolute truth, the Mighty God. There's nothing, there's no one greater, nothing in Romans 8:37-39, those nine things. There's nothing above the earth, in the earth. There's no contention or contender to God's power. He is above all things. And thank you, Jesus, that he can, he is Almighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. This always struck me. And just what a personal nature God is to us. In the family relationship, the father has so much importance. He's the head of the home. He's the servant and sacrificial leader. He is the one that is leading the direction of his home. And God is, he is the Everlasting Father. He has no end. He is, as we see in the book of Hebrews over and over, he is as Melchizedek. He has no beginning and no end, and he is the great high priest, and he's the personal and everlasting father. It means that he is going to lead his people, his family, in the directives of God, in the ministry of Christ. And then he's the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, think of that. He is He is the one that is totally resting in his love. He is calm. Quietness and confidence will be your strength, Isaiah says in 30:15. He is the prince. Again, he is ruling in Isaiah 40, verse 1, and speaking peace. God promises in Isaiah 26, 3 that those that put their mind on him, focus on him, will have peace. I think in our in these last days, as we near the rapture, there is so much disruption, distraction, so much anxiety. And God says, I'm the Prince of Peace. Let me be your hiding place in Psalm 32, 7. Let me be the one that you take refuge in. Let me surround you with songs of deliverance. I love that picture. We're hidden in him. We're camouflaged from the devil. We're hidden away in the sun. And there's songs of deliverance. We begin to hear truth and promise and the faithfulness of God, declaring the work of God that he will ultimately finish in our life as we simply just trust him, as we walk with him in a personal way. And I just love this. So who is he to you today? I asked somebody recently. I said, what is the first, how do you describe God? Like, how is it that you personally describe God? And typically the way we answer that question is the personal nature that we've been fellowshipping with. Some said, you know, he is my heavenly father. He's my rock. He's my savior. It's whatever it is that we start with typically shows the personal relationship that we've been fellowshipping with in him. He's the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And we'll see that in the millennial reign. But now, is he the Prince of Peace in my life? Well, what steals our joy? I think we lose our peace. We can lose our joy when we have many loves, when we have many things that our heart is attached to. It just like money, the love of money can pierce us through. Nothing wrong with money, but there's something wrong when we begin to love money. Money is a beautiful tool used of God, but if I begin to pursue it and love it and covet it, then it pierces us through. So when we see the names of God here, when we think about the three gifts that the wise men brought, these things all point to the person and nature of redemption and the incarnation, and that God will have the last word, and he is the Prince of Peace. You know what? Today, maybe you need to experience peace. Well, there's a beautiful thing. Let God be the lover of your soul today. Let God be your lover. Let your eyes be focused on him. Let wonder and amazement come back into your life. Let it brush away all the cobwebs and the familiarity and the stony heart and say, God, love me today. To the measure that God is loving you today will be the measure that you experience joy, joy, joy. And it's our strength. And it's so important. It's not an emotion. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's something that's deeper than happenstance. It's something that carries us in the character and nature of God. Joy, joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. It is so powerful. It doesn't mean I'm always smiling and having such a charismatic way necessarily. It just means there's a depth. There's the ministry of Christ that we're fellowshipping with. We're fellowshipping and walking in holiness. Holy days. These are holy days as we walk in wonder, as we're moved in the fear of the Lord, and as we worship him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's our personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus. He's our Emmanuel. Amen and amen.
You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. That's going to wrap up the devotional portion of our Wednesday broadcast, and we're really just getting things started with these thoughts. We can continue our live broadcast and invite you into the broadcast at this time. You can pick up a phone and join us by dialing one of the following numbers. The toll-free number is 800-338-7060. Again, that's the toll-free number in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And the local number, for those of you listening in the greater Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear from those of you that are tuning in and listening to us around the globe, and those of you that are right here in our Jerusalem, our Baltimore. Pick up a phone and join us live. Your thoughts, comments, questions, your testimonies are all welcome. Your prayer requests, well, share them with us. Your counseling needs, we'll turn to the scriptures to find answers, to find hope. And all it takes is you getting to a phone and joining us live. Fill up those lines. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, we want to encourage those of you that are listening overseas to give us a call. And you would dial 410-483-3700. And then, of course, if you're living in the local Baltimore area, it's quite simple for you. Just join us now. Again, you can wait till the second half of the broadcast, but if those phone calls start coming in, we could back things up a little bit. Might have to wait, and we might not be able to even get to your call. That's happened from time to time, so we always encourage our listeners to call us early and often so that you can join us live. For these indeed are holy days. That joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, reminds us all that of the great hymn, you know, joy to the world. And then the next verse says, the Lord has come. I don't know that there is any real joy unless the Lord has come. I think heartache, sin, brokenness, trouble, suffering, all these issues without any real answers to them, without Christ coming into our world. But with him coming into the world, hope replaces fear, and faith replaces a feeble approach toward life, and so many great things can be born in our lives when we make room for the Son of God in our hearts.
It's amazing, Pastor Love, and I'm sure all of us could have a personal word on this. It's amazing how much people carry their pain, how much they carry their troubles. There's no real burden bearer, and how just in the simplicity and the weakness, but yet for the profound power of Jesus coming as a baby, it always shocks me that he didn't come in such a way that he will come in the second coming, obviously, where it'll be very obvious, but he came to those that were seeking him. And I thought of this as a kairos moment in the Greek where heaven touches earth. And that's why this is such a holy day. We have the chronos, where it's the ticking of every second, but really it's a kairos, where God is working in a heavenly plan, a heavenly promise. And I think if we look at our life like this, that our life is not a mistake, that we're not just surviving to just to make it, but God wants us to thrive. And when we have that holy expectation in him, these can be kairos moments. And this is a great example, Jesus coming to earth. That was a kairos moment.
Yeah, yeah. The one translation is epic-making moments. I don't know. Well, there are other epic-making moments, but certainly one of those is the advent of Christ. And, I mean, you brought out the truth, the fact of the matter that Christ, you know, some people say, well, why did he have to come as a child? Why did he have to be born and of a woman? Why was all that necessary? Why couldn't he simply not have just appeared, you know, at the age of 30? We understand that at the age of 30, that's when Old Testament priests were inducted into their service. So why not just come at the age of 30? Well, if he did not come into the human race just as you and I did, he would not be qualified as a kinsman redeemer. And that fact cannot be overlooked. He had to be born like you and I are. Not some people would say, well, that's because he had to be able to identify with us. No, it's more than that. it's in order for him to be able to redeem us. Mm. You can't. The kinsman redeemer principle is simple. In order to redeem a member or a relative of your family or race, you must be a member of that race or family. And that's why Christ came into the world the way he did. And it was so absolutely necessary. And then on top of that, yes, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested and tempted even as we are. And again, he knows, you know, when we struggle, he knows. When we are rejected, he knows. When we suffer, he knows. Someone has suggested that Jesus went through the Garden of Gethsemane because he knew we would eventually go through our own personal Garden of Gethsemane. Mm. And he would be the one that would be able to say, I know, I've been there. But really, his ability to identify with us from the cradle all the way to the grave is just profound. Mm. And so that's why we celebrate, you know, this kinsman redeemer, this savior, this deliverer, this messiah, this king. And he's that and so much more. Well, we're going to take our first call, and not at this moment. We're going to wait until we turn the corner and start the second half of our broadcast, friends. But as we do, great time for you to fill up the lines and to join us live on the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. And the numbers, once again, are 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number in all of North America. You could be anywhere in Canada and use that 800 number. Anywhere in the continental United States and use that number. Now, if you're in Hawaii, well, you would have to dial 410-483-3700, just like all the folks outside of North America would have to do if they'd like to join us. But we hope that if you are listening in Hawaii, that you'll do just that. Give us a call. It'll probably be, very early in the morning.
We want to join you.
Yeah. Yeah. Share a little sunshine with us. Share a little of that warm weather with us here at the Grace Hour. So thanks for joining us. Those of you that have to sign off, we appreciate you tuning in today. A reminder of our church service tonight at 7 p.m. Love to have you join us. Everyone else, stay right where you are. Another half hour coming right up. We're back with you live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and plenty of time for you to participate in the broadcast, so don't hesitate. Don't even wait another minute. Get to your phone and dial one of those numbers and join us live, just like Linda is doing, and Linda's joining us from the Baltimore area. Linda, welcome.
Yes, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason. I just had a really bad fall, and somebody helped me up, a woman that's in the building now, a maintenance woman, and praise the Lord, she helped me up. And they wanted to call an ambulance, but I said that I was going to my doctor, and he gave me some shots and acupuncture, and he wanted to call an ambulance, and I said, no, I'll call my church and have them pray for me. I'll be okay.
Are you all right?
And then I'm in a lot of pain, but he gave me some shots and acupuncture, and I don't take medicine for that. I have faith that God will be okay. He wanted me to get an x-ray, but I can still walk, and I'm dealing with it. But my friend that I called Monday, Mr. Carroll, he had a stroke. He's doing a little better, and I've been praying for John Nielsen and Pastor Lightsey. What's their prognosis now?
Well, keep John in your prayers because he's undergone a surgical procedure this morning. So we're waiting to hear the results of that. And our dear brother in the Lord, Pastor Dan Lightsey, went home to be with the Lord just a couple of days ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well.
Are they going to have a memorial or something?
Yes, there will be. I think it's yet to be announced when that will happen. But, of course, we'll have a face-to-face memorial service for Pastor Dan Lightsey, our dear brother.
He wanted to go, though.
He did.
He said he wanted to
go. That's right.
That's what he told me before.
Yeah.
He was such a man of God.
That's right. Now,
my pastor, and so the doctor, I called him pastor. He said, Linda, he said, that's a compliment. So he asked me who my pastors were, and I said, Pastor Schaller, Pastor Jason. I told him about Little Carson and Pastor Love. And he said he was going to call you because the church had prayed for me.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, are you sure you don't need to see a doctor?
I'm trying not to, he was a doctor, and I feel that I'm. Will you pray for me, and I'll be. He won't be in so much pain.
All right. Well, if that pain persists, we recommend you definitely, you know, check. Let the doctor check you out just to be sure that you're okay. We don't want to see you suffer needlessly.
I do that all the time anyway, so I understand that.
All right, Linda.
But thanks for praying for me, and I appreciate it very much.
All right. God bless you.
And have a good day.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
We also would like to pray for our Rachel Munson, who is undergoing surgery today here in the Baltimore area. So, Father, we pray for Rachel. And her situation is very serious. There's cancer involved, and we're praying that this procedure, this surgery, would go off without any complications. And we pray that we would hear from her or her family the best possible results. We pray that you would guide the physicians, Lord, and we pray that this would be very, very successful and that you would bring great peace and great comfort to her soul even at this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Love, that reminds me of Miriam Kallenbach also. Mm. She's in the hospital on high flow. She's stable. Spoke with Lou this morning, the son, and she's in good spirits.
Praise
in
God.
Isolation. God, give them overcoming healing and touch.
Amen.
Touch those lungs, Lord.
Yeah. And anyone, and of course, if you have any needs, physical needs or challenges that are just overwhelming, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call. You know, some people, well, they think, well, I don't want to bother them with my, listen, it's not a bother. We want to hear from you. We want the body of Christ to be able to pray for your needs, whatever they are. You might think that they're small, insignificant, don't matter, but they do because you matter to God. So we bring those needs together as a body of believers and pray for whatever they may, whatever you might be dealing with in your life at this particular time. Well, phone lines are open. Great time to give us a call. Do it right now.
I love this thought about holiness. You know, Pastor Schaller says it a lot, or he has said it a lot in the regards that we do not seek happiness, we seek holiness. And that's not a natural desire. And thank you, Jesus, that he is constantly, the Holy Spirit is reminding us of the things of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and just thinking how these are holy days, holy opportunities, epic moments. I like how you said that. Kairos moments where if we're walking in the Spirit, God will show us a something holy. And I guess we could say this too, when we speak words of truth, they're like the coal in Isaiah chapter 6 that touches our unclean lips and gives us another language, another way of thinking, another way of living. Like, I love how Pastor John Boyce said it a few weeks ago. We have a miracle life. Our life is one big miracle because it's surrendered to God. But holy days, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And oftentimes that holiness, that presence of God shows our depravity, right? It just shows us that we are unclean, we are undone. But thank God, it doesn't stop there. It starts with, okay, Lord, now I recognize that it's your goodness that heals or changes and ministers what we desperately need, the grace of God.
Mm. And, you know, when Jesus came into the world at his first advent, Christmas, the incarnation, he declared himself, when he began his public ministry, as the light of the world. And I mean, that's really Christmas. Someone said, well, how do you sum it up? How do you, you know, put together the pieces of Christmas? Well, John's gospel, the first chapter says, and the light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it. The verse before that says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I mean, he is the light of the world. And what's so valuable about life? Well, when it comes to the nature of God, who is light, which means, you know, he's the perfect righteousness of God, it exposes, it reveals. Like you said, in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, when King Uzziah died, and, you know, Isaiah was present and the Lord gave him a vision of who he was. He saw, you know, a vision of God upon his throne. That's when he responded and said, "Oh, I'm undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He saw not only his own depravity, but the depravity of his entire nation. That's what light does, but it doesn't leave us there. It always comes to cleanse, to heal, and to deliver. And think about it. That light that came into the world, it revealed our true self. It wasn't pretty. Do you remember when that happened? When you got a real revelation of what was in your heart? And remember, Jesus said, you know, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness,
yes,
rather than light. I remember when that light shone on my heart, and I was just, I couldn't believe it. Because it's easy for us to identify that kind of darkness in other people's lives, to point it out, to talk about it, to magnify it, to be shocked as a result of it. But when you see it in your own life, oh, it's humbling. And then think about it. Yeah, we were once. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, and to me, this ties in directly with Christ's coming and his advent. It says, "For you were once darkness." Now think about that. God doesn't say you were once in the darkness or you were once abiding in the darkness. He says you were the darkness.
Wow.
But now you are light in the Lord. And then he says, "Now walk as children of light."
Wow.
We didn't even, I mean, there was a time when my conclusion was, "Oh, yes, I was in dark." No, God says you weren't in it. You were the darkness. And then the grace of God was revealed to us. But you can't understand and get that revelation of grace without the light of God coming into your lives. And someone says, practically speaking, how does that happen? The entrance of thy word gives light.
Yes.
We need the Bible. We need the word of God. We need gospel preaching. That's how we see it. We see the truth of who we are, and we see the truth about what God has done about who we are.
Yeah, Pastor Love, I can't say that enough. I so agree with you. Like, these are days not to be isolated. These are days not to be walking in a distance, in a distant way. These are days to be close. These are days to walk before God, be a part of a church family. There's no perfect church, but if we're imperfect people, celebrating a perfect Christ, and we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. And just thinking that we can only get ourselves to a certain place, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need that challenge, that accountability, that conviction to move us out of our comfort zones into a place of growth, like growing. Like, with, if I'm not in a church, then I'm not going to discover my potential. I'm just not, it's just not going to happen, because we're going to lean towards the things that, you know, that we enjoy, but the hard sayings, these things are going to be something that transform us. And I was thinking of this recently. The church is not about conformity. It's about transformation. And this is the message that we have. It's transformation. God is changing you and I. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. If I don't have peace today, I want to run to a place where God's peace is magnified. And tonight, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be tonight at our midweek service. We're going to magnify the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go to our next caller. Shirley is joining us, and she's, I believe, listening from the Baltimore area. Shirley, welcome.
Hey. Both of your portions just, I'm just speechless, actually. And Pastor Love, your caring in your voice of really coming to the body of Christ in, like, we care what you're going through. And I just appreciate you so much. And I know I haven't called in a long time. I don't know. My mom is still living. She's 98 and in a nursing home down in Florida where I was taking care of her. But then we had to sell the house because it's so expensive. And I've been here in Baltimore and just loving it, loving being here, but missing my mom so much.
I'm sure.
And then I've been sick back and forth and back and forth and low energy and just, you know, renovating the house, getting here. But also the presence of God has been so continually kind and merciful and loving towards me. And I think the body of Christ, because the word that's coming through is just so wonderful. And thank God for this time, this season, celebrating our dear Lord Jesus in these troubled times that we together have not been troubled. I was just thinking about what we've done to continue to, somebody was saying, be a community, but we're more than a community. We're loving one another. Dasha was on the phone answering the call, and she was so, her voice was so loving. I just can't even explain it. It's just too wonderful.
That is good to hear. Those are good thoughts that you share with us today, Shirley. And I know, of course, it must be difficult for you to be separated from your mom. I'm sure she's being well taken care of, but I think we all know the difference between being there personally and being separated by a great distance as you are. So please know we're going to keep her in prayer as well.
Thank you so much. And I still get this exhaustion thing that just completely floors me, and it's doing it now. So I'd love your prayers.
Oh, Father, we pray for Shirley. And what could our prayer be but would you quicken her with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? That's our heart's desire. Lord, we don't know what causes the fatigue, but we know that you have the power to bring life out of the grave. And we know that you once were there yourself, Lord, but through the power of your Father, you were raised again from the dead. So we're just praying that you would infuse Shirley with the energy of your presence and through the power of your promises, give her that divine strength that she needs just to be about her daily business. And encourage her mom today, Father. May she sense your presence. May you surround her with your great hedge of love, grace, and mercy, and speak to her with great words of comfort and hope. In Jesus' name, we present these needs to you. Amen.
God bless you.
Shirley.
Thank you both.
Shirley, before you go, just real quick, it's so good to hear from you. It's we were talking and praying in our staff meeting today, and we prayed for you. You just were on our hearts today in a strong way, and so good you called. So good you called. We love you, and God is for you. And, boy, you're just on the heart of God today for sure.
Love you. Thank you for sharing that. I love you.
Thanks for the call, Shirley.
You're welcome.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
800-338-7060, that is the toll-free number in all of North America. And we know that quite a few are listening throughout North America. Hope that a few of you just decide to pick up that phone and give us a call. About 15 minutes left in the broadcast, plenty of time to take your call. Those of you listening locally, 410-483-3700.
Yeah, Pastor Love, I just wanted to kind of highlight what you said a few minutes ago about the depravity and when we have that revelation of how much we need God and how faithful and gracious God is and his mercy, and it's unrelenting, it's unconditional. It's a unilateral decision where he has made a decision in himself, regardless of our performance or who we or how we respond. And thank you, God, for that. I was just thinking that, you know, as we just think about the incarnation and holiness, that how, remember Moses when he lifted up the staff and above the Red Sea, and he maybe didn't have an idea of how he was going to cross, but God said, "What is in your hand?" I mean, he said that in several other places too, when he dropped the stick and they became a snake. Like, what is in your hand? Like, God, whatever we have and whatever's committed unto God is holy. Acts 9:15, we are chosen a vessel, handpicked in grace as holy. And whatever we have in our hand today, maybe you're standing before a Red Sea, maybe you're standing or just at an overwhelming crossroad, and God is saying, you are holy, and whatever you have, lift it to me, and I will make a way through. And I just love that principle throughout the whole Old Testament, is God makes the unclean holy. And that's just a shocker, because there's no reason why a holy God would dwell in us except we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And we are holy today. And the devil doesn't want us to fellowship with that revelation. He wants us to look at ourselves based on our natural disposition. And God is saying, oh no, positional truth, grace identity, who Christ has made us to be. We are holy, peculiar, in 1 Peter 2:9, lively stones. It's incredible. God has made you holy today. No matter what, no matter what you have done or I have done or what we will do, we turn to him, we walk before him, and he, John 15:3, we are clean and holy through the word that he has spoken. Maybe that's a word for someone today.
Yeah. Well, that light of the gospel, it's never intended to leave us in our depravity. That's never God's intention, any more than it's God's desire to condemn us or to pass judgment upon us. I mean, we know what he thinks about judgment. He poured it out on his own son on the cross. So that light that we get from God, it has one or two responses. It either makes you cry out and see your need for God, or it makes you run away from him to hide and to cover it up. And I think that's why, you know, we talk about real repentance and, you know, pseudo-repentance. I mean, pseudo-repentance would be making sure that men don't discover what we've done. Real repentance is when God knows what we've done, but then has a remedy for what we've done. And again, it's never his intention. Take, for instance, the woman at the well in John's Gospel, chapter 4, bringing to her attention that her previous 5 marriages that ended in failure, that was never his intention to condemn her. It was to shed light on the fact that her need was so great that the only one who could meet it was the one she was speaking to, which was Christ himself. It's never God's intention to leave us in a state of condemnation. Never God's intention to leave us with guilt or shame. Always to remove it. And so we have to decide, you know, listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reminding us that if this gospel that we have that's entrusted to us, if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, and notice it, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. I mean, this is what the devil works overtime trying to do, making sure that the light of God's gospel, And initially, think about it, I think this is why people have such a reaction initially to the gospel, because their fear is, I can't risk coming into the presence of God. Everything will be exposed. But in reality, you should risk coming into the presence of God, because everything will be covered under the blood of Jesus. Make that choice. Take that risk. Oh, it's so well worth it. The pain of coming to the light pales in comparison to what God is able to do for us once we step into the light.
You know what's interesting, Pastor Love? We get used to the crumbs. We get used to the little bit.
It's all we deserve.
Yeah, and we have this idea that that's all we deserve. And God is saying, listen, I have prepared, like we were, Pastor's been doing an excellent series on feasting. I think of Proverbs 15:15, the righteous have a continual feast. It's like God has so much more for you and I than we can, we can't even comprehend it. We can't even comprehend it. And it's better than we can even hope for in 3:20 of Ephesians. And if you're listening today and you're a prodigal or just somehow lost, the door is open. The arms, 10:21 of Romans, are wide open for you and without judgment. And even if we judge ourselves, I love this, God is greater than our heart because he knows all things. So encouraging.
Amen. Well, let's go to our next caller. Pat is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Pat, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason. Today's message, like all of the messages, are so amazing, and there's so much that's going through my mind. But I just really felt compelled to call about one particular thing, is that I was thinking of like Romans 12:2, like be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think what we think about is the way we act. And it's not just, you know, I have to do this. It's I learned to think with God, think on every one of his promises that he's left for us, and I act differently. No matter what the situation is, I'm not alone. God is walking with me through it. And I just act differently, and I'm not even aware of it. I'm not, because, you know, sometimes you think, if I do this, if I do that, then this is a reaction I'd get. We don't even think about it. You just do it because it's become a part of who we are, who Christ wants us to be. And it's just such an amazing, amazing time. And I know for me, and probably some of the other, everyone else is listening, these last couple of years has been the most difficult time that I've ever lived in. Often it's like, God, I can't take this. I can't go through this. But God is just so faithful to just to go, you know, I know you're going through. I see. I know it's difficult. But stick with me. Stay close to me. I will get you through it. I mean, and there's been just lots of things that have happened, but I don't know, and I've been a Christian, I won't say how long, because it'll tell me how old I am, and I don't want you guys to know that, but...
29, you know, but, he's 29.
Exactly, 29 again, yes, exactly. But, you know, it's like, it's almost like Shirley was saying, it's been the most precious time I've had with the Lord, because I'm getting to know him. Every day is a brand new day, and he never ceases to amaze me, and just his presence. I mean, you know, I mean, the alligators are, you know, are biting at the bits, and everything is going crazy. And I'm like, and it's like, I'm here. Be quiet. Rest. I'm here. And it's just been a troubling time, but you know, we deal with the details the best we can, but we enjoy Christ in the midst of it because he sees us, he's allowing it, and he has a purpose for every situation. We don't go through anything that he hasn't said, yes, it's okay, you can go through that. And we get through it. May not be the way we want, but we get through it, and that's the bottom line. And something else that Shirley said that it was just, I really thought of too, is like, and you know, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason, you guys are like this, and so many other people in our church, is that when you speak, there is a caring, there is a love. And I really think it's because you know, each of us know that Christ loves us very special. We love him back. And when we see his people, I don't know if you are conscious of it, but whatever you say, whatever you do, there is a love of Christ that's expressed in those words, in those actions. So it's just amazing to see, you know, just how much we're loved. It's amazing to see how we're reminded. And we all need to be reminded, no matter what it is, no matter how, you know, great things are going or how bad things are going. We just need to be reminded that Jesus loves us. And that's what we get at our church. I'm sure there are a lot of other churches around the world that is preaching it. But I thank God for Pastor Schaller, you know, and for pastors and for our body, because it's love. And, you know, that's why when we come to church, we never want to go home. Mm-hmm. When there is a wrap, you don't want to leave. You know, I mean, I think if we had this huge apartment complex somewhere around the building, you know, where you just leave chapel and walk into your apartment, I think all of us would be signing up for, can I have a lease, please? Can I stay? Because there is just an expression of God's love and God's mercy for all of us. And thank you guys for laying down your life. Thank you for what you're doing. And Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Well said. And I think you describe perfectly what compassion is. Mm. You know, passion is the word for suffering, and the prefix there means you enter into the suffering. I think we can all identify with the sufferings of others because we ourselves have been there. Mm-hmm. So we enter into it. And we can identify with it. It's not like someone could call the broadcast and say, I'm really going to, and we're like, well, we don't know what you're talking about. No, we know what you're talking about. We've been mm-hmm. there. And then, of course, when you think of Christ, he's been there too.
Yes.
And his compassions never fail.
Exactly.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, guys. See you later tonight. Bye-bye.
God bless you. And thank you, folks, for joining us. Once again, we do want to remind you of our 7 p.m. service tonight, our midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore. Everybody's welcome. So if you're able to make it out, it'll be our pleasure to have you. Till tomorrow, here in the Grace Hour, may God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.